When life gives you lemons,
make lemonade.
Make lemonade. Great advice, yeah? I mean, have a positive attitude and do the best you can with what you have. But what if we're the lemons? What if God, the Creator, the Lord of all, has been handed lemons, and he's in the process of making some really, really good lemonade? And what if we're the lemons? People rebelling against God, living in alienation from our Creator, having chosen sin and having received death, lemons. And what if God is making a fine miracle vintage of eternal redemption out of such lemony people as us? And what if us getting squeezed is part of God's plan? M. Scott Peck, many years ago, wrote a book that was quite popular for a while called The Road Less Traveled. And he began his book by saying this: life is difficult. And then he went on to say that this important truth is one that we need to accept, for when we accept the truth that life is difficult, we are able to transcend it. When we are willing to acknowledge that life is difficult and it's supposed to be that way, we're on our way to making life less difficult. I think it is a major problem for modern people living in economic Disneyland and the most materialistically blessed culture of all time that we honestly believe that life is supposed to be easy. So when we encounter difficulties, when we are bitten by diseases or disappointed by people or depressed by circumstances, we also believe that such things ought not to be happening to us. When the pressures of life squeeze us enough to hurt, we feel justifiably victimized. The universe is somehow committing a crime against us. And thus, Peck says, our delusion that life is supposed to be easy makes things all the more difficult. What if life is actually supposed to be difficult for us? What if challenging troubles in life are part of God's good plan for health and wholeness and redemption for us? Then, if we make avoiding unpleasant pressure our life goal, we will actually be contributing toward our own sickness. Then we may find ourselves herded about through life, pushed this way and that by life pressures we need to be facing and instead are choosing to do our best to avoid. Romans 12:2 tells us not to let the world press us into its mold, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Could avoidance of trouble be a way we end up pressed into the world's molds? Rick Warren, in another reasonably popular book called The Purpose-Driven Life, says this: life is a series of problems. Every time you solve one, another is waiting to take its place. Not all of them are big, but all are significant in God's growth process for you. Peter assures us that problems are normal, saying, don't be bewildered or surprised when you go through the fiery trials ahead, for this is no strange, unusual thing that is going to happen to you. 1 Peter 4:12 in the Living Bible. Life is a series of problems. Does that seem like a depressing way of looking at life? not when we understand that behind such pain and pressure is the hand of God working tirelessly and graciously to draw us to himself and to develop his goodness within us. I find it interesting that Pastor Warren quotes from the Apostle Peter's letter. Peter didn't learn this all at once. He had to be squeezed. We see this in our text for today. Jesus knew his friend was going to be squeezed and that he was going to run and hide. And if the us as lemons analogy has validity, nobody ever got squeezed harder than Jesus. And nowhere is this made more clear than in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus was under pressure, his resolve to do his Father's will was made obvious. When we are under pressure, our need to do the same should be the same. Let's take a look at our text for today as we continue through the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 31 to 46. Hear the word of God. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away from me on account of me, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." Let's pray. Lord God, help us now as we think about these things that you have said to us. Lord Jesus, as we meditate together on you in the garden, help us to understand what this means and what this means for us. We pray this in your name and for your sake. Amen. So there he is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, Gethsemane is an interesting word. It means oil press. It's the garden of the oil press, which seems to indicate, among other things, that this was a garden where there were olive trees, and that frequently someone would bring an olive press in there and squeeze the olives to get that wonderful olive oil that was so useful in that culture. The use of the word place indicates that Perhaps this was a privately owned garden, and perhaps Jesus and his disciples had special permission to go there when they needed to. Perhaps this was a frequent rendezvous place for Jesus and his men. We aren't sure about that, but there's some indication that it was a known place. Hey, let's meet up at the Garden of Gethsemane, the Garden of the Oil Press. Now, to me, it also indicates a place where there was pressure, where there was squeezing. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane is a man under pressure. No one's ever been squeezed harder than Jesus. Let's take a look at the text again and look at the kinds of pressure that Jesus is feeling. That's indicated by the text. First, I would say mental pressure. Most of all, because of what's going on between him and his Father. Jesus prays to the Father with his face on the ground. Father, if this cup could be taken from me. And what do we hear his Father replying? Nothing. Silence. I mean, other times in Jesus' life, we actually hear the voice of God when Jesus was baptized, when Jesus went up in the mountain and was transfigured. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased, whom I love. Listen to him. There are other times where the way Jesus behaves indicates that he and his Father are really in sync. They operate in cahoots. Jesus, John 10:30, I and the Father are one. Elsewhere in John, he indicates he only does what he sees the Father doing. He and the Father are like this. And here in the garden, Jesus prays, and as far as we know, there is no answer. Mental pressure. Perhaps a monumental change in the way Jesus, for this moment, is feeling, perceiving reality. Where are you, Father? I know you're there. Leads to the cross, where of course he says something else about being forsaken, but this has begun in the garden. You ever felt like your whole world was turned upside down? The pressure in your mind, the mental pressure of not even knowing which way was up anymore? Jesus was under pressure. Welcome to the pressure garden. Emotional pressure. Well, no guessing here. He tells us, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Jesus is experiencing great anguish. His heart is broken. Interestingly, though, there is no sense at all of Jesus using his emotional anguish as an excuse for anything. Ever felt like your heart was being smashed? Welcome to Pressure Garden. Social pressure, especially the pressure of loneliness. Jesus, here in his moment of need, his great moment of need, with his men, and they are nowhere to be found. His men are asleep. I thought about this social pressure idea. You know, people talk a lot about peer pressure. You know, pressure from other people to do wrong things. Well, this isn't what Jesus is experiencing here, but I thought about it. Peer pressure. Why does peer pressure work? Peer pressure works because we do not want to be outcasts. We don't want to be out there while everybody else is in here. So you tell me what you want me to do and I'll do it because I don't want to be lonely. I think peer pressure works because of the real pressure of loneliness. And Jesus here cuts right to that. In his moment of need, when things are building and building and building on him mentally, emotionally, every way, he finds that he has to do this absolutely alone in terms of relationships with any other people. These men that he's invested in are not going to be of help to him. Ever been let down hard by the cruelty or weakness of other people? pressure garden. Then there's also what I would call temporal pressure. The great ticking of the clock. This is one that I hate. His betrayer is coming. Step, step, step. Any moment now, he and the soldiers are going to be there. No second chances. Are you still sleeping and resting? Jesus says, look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed. Here comes my betrayer, he says. The clock is ticking. The God who exists above and beyond all time is now the man with precious few minutes in which to make some life and death decisions. Have you ever noticed how advertisers include phrases like limited time only, last day, don't miss this once in a lifetime offer? Advertisers understand temporal pressure. They understand what it does to us to know that time is limited. You got to do it now or forget it. Jesus was under that kind of pressure. He refers to it. If Jesus was going to try to find another way besides the way of the cross, he was going to have to act, and he was going to have to act now. Can you hear the advertisers of evil? Last chance. Act before it's too late. Get out now. Have you ever felt rushed? Ever had to make a big decision in a hurry? Pressure garden. There was physical pressure for Jesus. Great physical stress. In Gethsemane, Jesus' very body was buckling. Luke's gospel account says this, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. This is a mysterious part of the story that Luke includes. But clearly, the pressure was so great that it was affecting Jesus' very body. We know about physical pressure, don't we? Ever lost your breath, got dizzy, fainted, suffered heart palpitations because of stressful life circumstances? I see those heads. I have. Ever felt the pressure of bones that don't fit right? Or internal organs that don't work right, or too few good blood cells, or too many bad cancer cells? Welcome to Pressure Garden. And then there was spiritual pressure. For Jesus, there was great temptation. Satan is working overtime. I love this quote from Robert Mounts in his Matthew commentary, which I put in your bulletin. The agony of Jesus in Gethsemane was not the anticipation of the pain and the cruelty of the crucifixion, but the awful truth that he was the lamb about to be sacrificed for the sins of the world. It would appear that even in this crucial moment, Satan was tempting him to draw back from the cross. We too find ourselves under this spiritual pressure, even here today. I know it. Some of us are aware of it. Some of us aren't. But we're all in the pressure garden right now. This is where Jesus, in all his pressure in the Garden of Gethsemane, the garden of the oil press, begins to shine the light of his life on the uncertainties of our lives. Where did Jesus turn? In what or in whom did he trust? What did he do? Read on in Dr. Mounts' commentary. It would appear that even in this crucial moment, Satan was tempting him to draw back from the cross. Jesus' complete and final commitment to the redemptive plan of God is seen in the words, "Not my will, but yours be done." Jesus' character is revealed especially well in the Garden of Gethsemane. There we see the oil of a faithful heart. The fine oil, that sweet lemonade that is pressed out of Jesus. The character of Jesus. You've heard the quote about character and personality. Personality is who you are when everybody's looking. Character is who you are when nobody's looking. What Jesus says, and he means it, is "Thy will be done, Father." And what Jesus does is "Thy will," the will of the Father. He does what the Father has said. And so we see the true character of Jesus here. Faithfulness and courage in the face of his heavenly Father's painfully difficult call. We also see concern for his weak and error-prone friends, even here in the face of their failure. Watch and pray. Why? He says to Peter. Why? So that you will not fall into temptation. He's still concerned about him. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. He's even making excuses for him. I know you really would like to do this. You just don't have it in you physically. Not yet. Their temptation is on Jesus' mind. He gives them the benefit of the doubt. Here is Jesus, the man with no sin. When Jesus was under pressure, his resolve to do his Father's will was obvious. When we are under pressure, our need to do the same should be the same. God has a purpose for our Gethsemane experiences. Do you believe that? There is a reason for the pressures that you experience in your life. All of them. Our pressure garden experiences squeeze out the pulp and seeds of our naturally sour, selfish, and sinful nature. These experiences reveal to us how much we, like those disciples with Jesus in Gethsemane, are not like Jesus. Here for me was the aha as I looked at this scripture and as I meditated on Jesus in the garden over this week. I tend to think of Jesus in the garden as the amazing hero, saying, "Thy will be done," to his Father when it meant so much pain and agony to him. He didn't have to do it, but he chose to go through with the pain for our salvation. What a hero. But on further examination, I now see Jesus more as an amazingly wise man as well. Oh, certainly the great hero, but also a man of enormous wisdom, not only showing us the way toward heroism, but showing us the way toward wisdom. "Thy will be done" wasn't only the heroic thing to say, it was the wisest thing to say. In the midst of all his human confusion and anguish, where does Jesus turn? To his Father. And under all that pressure, what does Jesus affirm as the bottom line reality for himself? "I will trust my Father, and I will do what he says." That was so smart. Where else could he have turned? What else could he have affirmed instead? Could anything have been better? Thus, Jesus heroically, faithfully, courageously, graciously, and wisely chose and walked the way that would save us and bring greatest honor to his heavenly Father. It is in our pressure gardens that our need to conform to God's will is made clear. Look, when you're under mental pressure and you don't even know which way is up anymore, where are you going to turn? Heavenly Father, my Creator, my Redeemer and Sustainer who's revealed himself to me, I turn to you. I don't know where else to go. Very wise. Like now. When the sermon's just going a little too long, where do you turn? And God will hear your praise, your prayer. And so finally, he said, quickly concluding, it is precisely in those pressure garden experiences that many of us are going through right now, big time. It's precisely in those experiences that that sweet lemonade is squeezed out of us. That wonderful combination of human will and divine will. That wonderful combination of our faith and God's grace mixed into the lemonade of redemption, which forever, forever has the wonderful taste of God's glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this chance to be together and to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank you for the understanding that you give us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, a man like us who experienced life like we do. Lord, thank you for the example that he is for us in the garden. Lord, the example of thy will be done in the midst of all those life pressures, not using any of it as an excuse not to do your will, but choosing you. Lord Jesus, thank you not only for the example that you are in the garden, but that in the garden you were performing the work that needed to be done that we would be saved. So may we be people who turn to you in gratitude and trust, saying, thy will be done.